Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky.
To the sky.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky.
To the sky.
Inspirational Wednesday brought to you here on Babylon Talk Radio by Alma Hoida, where we believe that it's not enough just to wake up, but to be set free and delivered from who you thought you was and what you used to be, as we strive to keep these statutes, laws, and commandments on the Torah. Let's go before our Abba in prayer, first and foremost. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for who you are and all the love that you demonstrate, all the grace and mercy you demonstrate towards us. We've done nothing to be able to justify or give us any insurance as to, you know, life itself, Father. These things are only by your grace and mercy. So we're grateful today for the opportunity that you've given us to enjoy life, enjoy the fullness of life, and enjoy just what you've given us. The people that are out there struggling with their perception and perspective in life, and they are more pessimistic right now, I pray for them that you'll give them some hope, some sight, insight as to how to understand what life is for and what it's about, and give them deliverance and peace and bring them into your statutes, laws, and commandments. But truly, that is the joy of life, fearing you and keeping the commandments and just loving on one another. So, Father, remove anger, bitterness, hatefulness, resentment, oppression, and depression in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We give your name all the praise, honor, and glory in advance. So be it. Hallelujah. It's another hump day here, and all praises to the Most High that we made it to. We call this day four. Day four. We ain't worried about man's interpretation of midweek, Wednesday, hump day. This is the fourth day, one of the greatest days in creation, where he created the sun, the moon, and stars to just behold his glory and the amazement of his hands. So the fourth day is a wonderful day. And we also know that our Messiah sacrificed his life in the midst of the week so that he might raise up on the Shabbat. All praises. I hope wherever you are in your part of the world that you're doing fine, that you're doing great. And if not, hey, that's why we gather here together. So you can call in 213-769-0910 if you have a request. But if not, if you're just listening, hopefully we'll say something to you that will enlighten your thought process, but more than anything, exhort your soul, give you encouragement and exhortation, and help you to be able to go just a little bit further. We're just fellow brothers and sisters in this life, in this walk, just trying to get through day by day. And I know how emotions can stray. A lot of that has to do with how you take care of your body, if you work out, how you eat, and just changing your perception and seeing things for what they are. We know that this truth can be a weighty matter, but scripture did tell us to count it all joy and for all things to give thanks. So it's really upon us how we posture ourselves in this life. So I just want to say that. Let me say shalom to Deacon Abiram. Brother D, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing just fine. Shalom to all my brothers and sisters out there and the strangers among us. If I may, just want to read one verse here, Amos 9:9. For all of us that are standing fast with the Most High and follow the Most High in these laws, statutes, and commandments. Amos 9:9, for lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Meaning you follow these laws, statutes, and commandments, the Most High has got you. And so it's something to think, it's something to be, to be happy about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a treasure to hold on to. Revelations tells us here is the patience of the saints, they that keep the commandments. We that are keeping it is because we're faithfully awaiting and we're constantly looking up with bated breath for the return of our Messiah. I think a lot of us, we just look at TV and what's going on with Donald Trump to gauge just how close we are to the end of Esau's rule and to the beginning of Jacob's rule. Hallelujah. All praises.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, how you getting along, brother? I haven't talked to you in a few days.
I'm doing just fine. You know, they're keeping me busy over here. So, I just come off a weekend with my grandson, and he likes to keep me busy. But, you know, the Most High is keeping me strong and helping me as I go through this walk.
That might be a good little part-time business for you, you know, since you're retired, babysitting on the side. I don't know.
My grandson would cure me of any of that.
I hear you. Well, brother, it was good to see you this past weekend. We appreciate you, and we won't even cover the business on the phone, but sometimes you just got to keep moving because Hashatan always laying low in the cuts, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, because he comes for the elect, for the remnant, because he's trying to get all the souls he can, and he just, if he can get one of the remnant to change or to turn, you mean that's glory, you know, that's good for him. That's, he feels glorious when he can do that. But, you know, we'll stand and strong.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. You bring up a good point, and we should elaborate on that before we move into some more scriptures for edification for the people. When you start waking up into this truth, you get a target on your back. The ones with the targets are the ones Satan really wants. I don't think he really bothers too much about these Christians because they only, you know, they only righteous on Sunday morning, and then they put that in the closet until next Sunday. Now,
he has them ready.
Right. So there's a few of you Christians that are trying to come into the knowledge of the truth. And the only ones I'm in reference to are the ones that fight the truth, don't want nothing to do with the truth, and deny the truth because you see that it says not to eat pork in there and that Saturday is the Sabbath and that the first day is sun worship. You see these things, but when you rebel, ignore, and you're ashamed of the truth because you want to adapt to religion, then, yeah, you're bringing problems upon your lives, which is why we see the Christian sanity people talking about they're constantly looking for a word. I've heard one word, and that's all the word I need, fear Yah and keep his commandments. And that's
exactly
all I need to hear.
Yeah. Fear man.
Fear. That's right. That's right. I'm not looking for man's approval, and that's what this life tries to get us to do, focus on trying to get the approval of man. And we try to make sure we can get the approval of the Most High when it's time for us to have to check up out of here. You know, a lot of us, I know y'all holding your breath, hoping you don't have to check up out of here, but one way or the other, you're going to check up out of here. Some of y'all might be blessed to make it over into the wilderness, but hey, for the most part, you got to check up out of here, and you want to make sure that you have a reservation in the right spot, not the wrong spot.
That's right. Feel blessed that, you know, you have been awakened, that Most High has tapped you on the shoulder. I mean, that's a blessing. And feel blessed no matter if you do go, you're going in the right spirit.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So we have to learn to shake ourselves. Let me, before we go into this other part of walking in the spirit, I'm gonna do a little something from the excellent scripture you start us off with in Amos. I'm going to just read a little portion of Psalms, as I mentioned in the writing that I would do a portion of Psalms.
Bring it out.
Then we'll go to Galatians. And then I had mentioned that I would just kind of clear up some things about that that moon. But let me read this in Psalms first. Psalms, I believe it's 119 and 120. Today I want to go to 123 in the Hebrew alphabet. That is P-E-P-E. And it starts off with, "Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them." He's talking about the testimonies of the Lord of overcoming. One thing that our Savior Yeshua did, and you need to understand this, he came here to fulfill prophecy. So he was just down here handling business, prophecy after prophecy being fulfilled, and he still is not complete. And you would think with that great exit he made where he ascended up into the clouds, that would be an excellent period to the statement, but no, he's coming back to tabernacle amongst us and fulfill the rest of the prophecies and deliver Israel, our people. But we keep
I'm sorry, but as he said, he didn't come here to destroy the law. He came here to fulfill it.
Right.
For those out there who believe, you don't have to follow that anymore.
That's right. And he said, not one jot or tittle of the law. None of it will pass away until all has been fulfilled. And as I read all the way through to Revelations, and even in the prophecies of the book of Daniel, Zephaniah, Zacharias, the book of Amos, there's so much more to come. So much more to come. So let's
well,
keep
you know,
these
brother, the more I look at this and see not only, you know, the churches, but just our people who don't want to understand what this book is, don't want to come into this truth. It's just, you know, it's just amazing that, you know, this is such a good word and that our own people won't accept it.
God, you know, people are caught up into the snare and trap bondage of religion, of what they have to do. I myself, I wince at the thought of being subjugated to a church program and a board and staff in that capacity of the Christian sanity the way it is. It was a constant exercise in futility. You're going through a ritual of coming to the church building 3 or 4 times a week, hoping for something different to happen in your life, and you're doing the same old things. Talking about, this is my season, this is my year. And you're giving all your money to that pastor, to that church. You're not even giving to the ones that the scripture tells us to give to. As often as you give unto them, you've also given unto me. Christ told us that every time we take care of the less fortunate and the least of them, the ones despised, walked away from, he said, you've given unto me. But you keep giving to the building fund, to the pastor's appreciation, to the kids' Great America outing. You're not doing nothing to build the kingdom. You're caught up into a religious system, a nonprofit entity, a charity. And you do these things because they make you feel self-righteously good. But that's a filthy rag. Nah, that's a filthy rag. So you're right, Brother D. They don't want.
Yeah, and we're supposed to be building riches in heaven. And like I mentioned at one time, I see these people that coming out of one Catholic church, all just rolling by this homeless guy, not even bothering to look over in that way. But they just come out of what they call the Lord's house, and no love in their heart for their fellow man.
Absolutely, absolutely, and they feel like their work has been done already by walking into that pagan temple. That Hellenized
That's
pagan
right.
temple, and I put money in this plate, I've done my deed to society. And this is why you have the people that try to say you're not saved by works. They don't realize that it's not talking about the works of keeping the commandments. It's talking about the works of you going to church, participating in the feeding of the homeless for 1-2 days out of the year, and giving a plate to the pastor's anniversary and the building fund. You feel like you've done your work, but you haven't done anything to the Messiah and to the Most High. You've given to a crooked, paganistic 501c3 program that is being sponsored by Hashatan himself, and you're building his kingdom and you're building the world, because these religions are deception and illusion. You refuse to build up those that are preaching and teaching the truth, because this world has told you they're the crazy people. They're the ones on the outside. They are the John the Baptist is in the wilderness eating locusts and honey. He's crazy. See, they dismiss you quick. He's crazy. He's psycho. Have you heard about his past? Have you seen his prison record? Have you checked his credit? Who does he hang out with? I heard she used to be. I heard he used to be. These are such tricks that this world has put on you to keep you from receiving and walking in a blessing that we're going to get into in Galatians about walking in the Spirit. But I want to finish Psalms real quick, because as you were saying, they don't want to keep the commandments, and this is what they miss out on. Psalms 119, 130. The entrance of thy words give light. If you don't want to receive the Most High's words, which are Torah and Tanakh, the commandments written by his finger, then you don't have light. No, that you don't have light. But when you have the commandments and you receive them, that is the right light. It said it gives understanding unto the simple. The Most High's words can change your simple behind. And suddenly this world will begin to make sense. This is why I and Deacon Abiram and some of the other brothers and sisters that are in this truth, this is why we put up with the hatred that comes from this world, how we're despised by our families and friends and people on the job. We put up with all that because we almost feel like the disciples, who you couldn't tell them nothing after they saw Christ die, rise up, then go up into the clouds. couldn't tell him nothing. Got something you want to say, brother?
That, and we suffer that because we know that we're not better than the master. He told
right.
us that we would that this would come upon us. And getting back to the you know that plate that they pass around for the Most High don't need your money. That guy who's running that operation, he's the one that needs your money. You're not
mm-hmm.
giving your money to the Most High, and you mm-hmm. need to be cognizant of that. But
right.
Like I said, we're no better than the master. We're definitely not better than the master. So mm-hmm. we gotta expect these things. We expect these things to come at us. We expect the
mm-hmm.
attack of Hashatan.
Mm-hmm. No better than the master. And listen, brothers and sisters, stop languishing in the pain of the moment and the attacks. Emergency calls, yeah, those things hurt. Child getting sick, yeah, those things hurt. Something happened with your parents, those things hurt. But there is a posturing that the Most High expects from us. He wants us to always say, the Lord is good. Blessed be
oh, yeah.
the name of the Most High, who giveth and taketh away. He's looking, brothers and sisters, he's looking at everything. He even wants you to discern what's a blessing and what's not a blessing, because there's some things he wants you to walk away from. And Satan knows that some of these things to you that might appear to be a blessing, Satan knows it caters to your flesh and that it can become a very active distraction in your life. You might think it's a blessing, but sometimes you need to pull back. Because the first thing came to my mind when somebody tried to charge us up the yin-yang for a building that we're only going to be in 8 hours a month and want to charge us rent and first and last, first thing came to my mind was a scripture that said, the blessings of Yah maketh rich and add no sorrow. What does that mean? You're not scrambling to pay it every week, talking about how am I going to pay it, and you're not putting yourself in debt. When the Most High blesses you, it's without debt. Yeah, your car note is not a blessing because you're in debt. Your house note is not a blessing because you're in debt.
Nope.
It's a means to an end. He gave you something to sustain you. The miracle is that he can help you pay that mortgage every month. But when the Most High really gives you something that he wants you to have, he'll do it to where it's yours. And a lot of people don't even believe that, Brother D. They don't believe he'll have somebody walk up to you and give you the keys to a car and say, here, Most High told me to give you this car. People don't believe that. They have more faith in the system, going to the finance department, and getting that Edomite to say yes. I got more faith in that happening than the Most High.
Yeah, because that's how we've been trained.
Right. So we're trying to retrain ourselves. I know I can have anything I need. I don't know if anybody caught that.
I did because he knows what you need. Yeah, he knows what you need. Most High knows what you need, and he'll provide it.
There you go. Not anything I want, because everything I want is not good for me. But everything I need, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and they're all ours to claim in his holy name. But not what you want, because some of you just keep asking for stuff. You ask amiss. Let me find the scripture. You ask for things that you don't need and that you're actually asking him to keep certain things away for you, from you, take this away, and then on the other end, you're praying for it, knowing that what you're praying for will lead you back into something you want him to take away. Right.
And that's just what that's how the Most High is. He's not going to bestow upon you something that especially when you're walking in this truth, something that he knows is not good for you. He doesn't
need
that. There
you go, because he knows better than we know ourselves what's going to come. You may ask for something. He's like, nah, you don't even see that that's not good for you. You don't even see what door that would open. I do. Okay, so you belong to me now. soon. If you said my will be done, then you just sit back and be patient. So he has to sit back and wait for that desire to die out.
Exactly.
Let's get that scripture, James 4 and 3, and then I'm going to finish this Psalms, and we'll get back to Galatians 5. James 4 and 3, listen to this, brothers and sisters, Mishpachah. It says, you ask, and you receive not. And it says this, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. There it is there. That's James. 4 and 3, you ask and you don't get it. Why? Because you ask amiss. Because you ask amiss based upon your lust. You wanted something that you felt like you just had to have, that you just needed to have. You ask amiss. So you say, what, you know, according to the word, what is amiss? Well, there's two words translated for amiss. A topos, referring to that which is improper or harmful to you. And then kakos refers to that which is evil in the sense of a disaster, then to that which is wicked and morally wrong. The latter of the use of it is in James 4 and 3. The purpose of the prayer is evil. It is therefore amiss and cannot be granted. You can't ask the Most High to bless you with something so you can show off to somebody else and say, like, yeah, see, uh-huh, now who you think you're talking to? Uh-huh, uh-huh, I got this new Benz, uh-huh, got this new house. Yep, we rolling, uh-huh. Yeah, you just want to make somebody look bad. You have the wrong intent anyway. So check yourself. If you're asking amiss, you're asking either for evil intent, it's improper, or it can be harmful to you or someone else. So we see these examples. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. Check yourself. Be aware of who that blessing is coming from. You know, the Most High is going to give you blessings that's good for you, good for the soul. Now, you're getting them blessings from Hasatai. You think you're doing great, and I've got all this stuff, and, you know, those ain't the kind of blessings you want.
There you go. Watch that. Asking amiss, because we do it when we pray, too, sometimes. We have the wrong motive in prayer. We let different things make us pray for certain things, and it could be like,
yep,
get them, you know, and we know about those prayers and songs. Yeah, we know them, but it has to be like, defend me, not just kill them. Defend me, because they're attacking me and I don't know what to do. My hands are tied, and those are called imprecatory prayers that David prayed. So that's what it is. It's not like they didn't piss me off. I feel like going to get my shotgun, but why don't you kill them before I kill them? You can't pray.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't pray like that. So we have quite a few verses about praying amiss, but James 4 and 3 is one I want you to hold on to today. And as I was talking about works, the book of James is really good on works. The bad works are you thinking, if I go to church every Sunday, pay money towards all the different funds in the church, and give Sister So-and-so a ride home, and maybe even bring her back, and maybe take her out to dinner, too. She ain't so bad looking. That church is a mess, boy. You know what's going on in that love shack.
Yeah, because, you know, you're taking that grace and believing that that's a license for you to sin. You know, as long as I come in on Sunday and say I'm sorry for what I did, not really meaning it, because if you were really sorry and sincere about your repentance, you wouldn't go back out there and do it again. But that's just simply think that grace is a license to sin.
Hey, man, that grace is so bad, Brother D, that, you know, I'm going to go back in time. When I was younger, brought up in church, you know, folks would literally get up out the dirt and just dust themselves off. That's what they did with grace. Waddle in dirt and literally get up and just dust themselves off.
Yep.
And keep on. Are you there?
Because actually, if you take that grace for granted and do that, you know, you're dishonoring Yeshua and what he did for us.
Yeah. Right. But it's so repetitive. It's like they could fall into Monday and repent, because the church has taught them, just pray, brother, just repent. Did you repent? Did you repent? And not understanding that repentance is to leave it all together, to walk away. And then the thing about the repentance is that you don't know if he forgave you. All you can do is leave it there and then walk away and be done. Give a sincere heart, broken heart, he won't despise. But a lot of you all's hearts aren't broken and contrite when you've committed fornication, adultery, or done something. You're not truly sorry. You got what you wanted because you conceived of it first in your head. Then you went and fulfilled it and did it. And then you won't tell him about you repent. He should have killed you when after you conceived it, you called the hotel and booked the room and said, meet me there at 12 o'clock. And he gave you all that grace to get there at 12. He could have had a car accident. Like I said, I know of a brother, a pastor in Detroit, who said, I'm going to cheat on my wife tonight when I get off work. And he worked on airplanes. And while he was inside one of the airplane things, cleaned it out, he got struck by lightning.
I'll tell you.
I'll tell you his name. His name is Pastor. Pastor, you can probably find his testimony online. That was years ago, you know, when he wanted me to come out there and speak when I was I had a different message. But he testified. The Most High will take you out. So most of us are not. Go ahead.
Yeah. What did Yeshua say to the woman who the Sadducees and the Pharisees were accusing of adultery? He told her to go and sin no more. I mean, don't pick things up and go back to that life you were at. You were living. He said, go and sin no more. Same thing that he told the man when he told him to pick up your bed and walk. He said, sin no more. Brother V, can you hear me? Brother V.
Okay, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry about that. We were knocked off again, so I'm not going to give it that much cadence of time. We know what's going on these days with give me 1 second. I'm calling Brother D to get him back on. The rebroadcast will connect the downtime. We've been down because they knocked us off the live. We know what these knocked us off the account, and we know what these cyber attacks are all about. And I just thank the Father. It's a confirmation that we're talking good and we're on point. I'm going to continue with the scriptures until Brother D comes in. I'm going to see if I can remember where we left off, where we're hitting some pretty good points. So if there's a little gap in the understanding, it's because we did get knocked off about 5 minutes off the air. Okay, Psalms 119 and 131. Stop texting me, wives. Throw me off. Okay, let's see. Let me bring Deacon Abiram back in. Deacon Abiram, I'm finally back in. It took forever with the computer, the line, and Block Talk. So you already know what's going on, so we ain't giving Hashatan no praise.
Exactly.
You already know. You know what the business is, so we're talking good. We covered James 4 and 3, ask and amiss. We were given some clarity as to understanding how we should pray. How come your prayers aren't being answered? I want to allude to this before I finish Psalms. If you want your prayers answered, go to Isaiah 58 chapter. It tells you how you can pray and everything be answered right off the top. But praying amidst James 4 and 3, not going to help you. I was tying all that in with a brother that always tries to tell us, the people that keep the commandments, that we're trying to get into the kingdom on works-based religion, meaning we have to keep the Sabbath. We have to keep the holy days since we're trying to get to heaven. No, if you love me, you keep my commandments. This is something we do out of love, desire, compassion, and faith without works is dead. Okay? And that's what James told us, and that we show our homage to the Most High and our love for him by sanctifying and setting ourselves apart, setting time apart, setting days apart. Don't tell me I'm trying to get into heaven and using works when you still set aside time to
take care of yourself. You set aside time to take your kids out. You set aside time to take your wife out. You set aside time to go to the gym. And you're going to tell me we can't set aside time to worship and praise the Most High? You've got to be kidding me. You've got it twisted. Go ahead, Brother D. You want to say something?
No, but you're right. I'm going to, let's see, where is that? John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You know, people
right.
are, they ask these prayers, they ask the Most High for this and that, but they're not abiding in him. You know, you're not putting him first in what you're asking for.
Right, I'm going to get into that when we go to Galatians 5 in just 1 second. Let me finish Psalms 119, 131. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. 132, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of men, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down my eyes, because they keep not thy law. And yeah, we get sad. If only our people would keep the law, we'd be on our way back to our land, our country, our righteousness, our rightful place in the kingdom.
That's right.
Okay, so before we get into Galatians 5, I'm just going to touch on this real quick because I said I would. And I'm going to just give clarity to last Saturday, and that's going to be it. In Hebrew, there are two different meanings for moon. We have a lot of misinterpretation on the word moon, how to use the new moon, when to bring it into fruition. I'm not going to tell you that today. I'm just going to give you those meanings. First one that I talked about on the Shabbat was Genesis 7 and 11, which gave us 23:20 in Strong's Hebrew, which is Hodesh, also known as Kodesh, which is a set-apart month, a time. It's a new moon. It's a month. It's Kadash. It comes from the root word Kadash. Some people just say Hadash or Hodesh. The C and K is silent. It strictly means month throughout the months, month to month. When you see moon in this instance, it's talking about month. That's what it means. That's where the problem's coming in. People don't realize that there's 23:20, which is Hodesh. And then people don't realize there's Yariak. And Yariak, we find that. Let me get the actual number for that one. Because the ancient meaning for Hodesh was new moon, but it was new month. And then we have 3394, which was Yariak, which is strictly for the purposes of talking about the moon. It's masculine. It's strictly for the purposes of mentioning the moon. As I mentioned, Genesis 37 and 9, Deuteronomy 17 and 3, we see, like, for instance, in Genesis 37 and 9, behold the sun and the moon. That's what the scripture says. It's just in reference to the moon. But when you see Hodesh in place, it is talking about a new month. And we know our new months are somewhere around the 18th of the Gregorian calendar month. It falls midstream. So we're in Abib, and then we go to, I believe it starts with T, the next month. So we're in the middle. Let me see. No, we're actually getting ready. We're preparing to end the first month of the Hebrew New Year of Abib and move into the next month. And that would be the Hodesh appointed time, set time. But the one that really throws people off is the Greek interpretation for moon. And there is one named after a goddess, which is the Greek 4582, Selene. And that's where they get the Greek goddess Selene and Selena. And then you also have them talking about the goddess Diana. So
So there were a number of goddesses and gods named after the moon, that particular luminary. But the one that stood out that we brought out on Saturday was the Greek 3561, which is Numenia, Numenia. So you get new, which is as we know it, and it says new moon. So when it said let nobody judge you in your feasts and moons and Sabbaths, it's saying that particular moon in the Greek was saying let nobody judge you in your set apart Moedim feast months. So it was in reference to that we used to, at every renewed moon, new month of a moon, a new month, I'm trying to say, not the moon, new month, we celebrated and we blew the shofars. So go back and listen to Saturday's show if you want to hear more about Numenia. Numenia, it's a barbarous word. And the Greeks transliterated our Hebrew scrolls just threw a lot of things off because there aren't words that can describe some of the Hebrew words. However, that Greek word, Numenia, is a feminine word, and it means festival, celebratory time. All right, I just wanted to give a little bit of clarity to that because I said I would, didn't want to bypass it. You still there, Brother D?
In it out. It's a good knowledge.
Knowledge. Okay. All right. Let's get Galatians 5 so we can pick up the ball where we dropped off with this, what we're talking about. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask what you want. I give you what you want. But James 4 and 3 said you ask amiss. That's why you're not getting nothing, because we ask with the wrong intent, the wrong purposes, and we don't even realize what we really need, because he knows what we need before we even ask. And it said that my Yah shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. That scripture is real to me. That's why I never worry about a true need, especially when I'm living right. Now, if you want to call that self-righteous, I don't call it self-righteous. I'm struggling hard to try to live right. I'm saying no to the flesh, no to exorbitant desires or throwing things outside of moderation. No, I'm doing this, and there's payoff for this. I mean, you're not going to go to the gym every day, every week, and not expect to be losing some weight or getting cut up or something, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. My expectations are high. If I'm walking in him, I want him to walk with me, and I want him to handle the business. And so I walk with him by keeping his commandments. And that's the same as saying this, people. You can't be in my gang unless you understand the gang rules and how we get out. You can't be a part of this cabinet, this committee, this board. Everybody's going to tell you what you need to do to be associated with this and how we do this here. Well, that's how it goes with Yah. If you're not keeping his laws, you're not in his kingdom, because every kingdom is established and dictated to by its set laws that dictate the culture of a people as well at the same time.
And these laws are not grievous. I mean,
you go.
You should want to be able to follow these laws and to obey these laws. It should make you happy. It should lift your spirit.
Right. It gives you something to do, for one. Because, I mean,
exactly.
Living any kind of way, yeah, having no standard, I mean, what is that? Having no standard whatsoever.
It's emptiness is what it is. Your life is
right.
Empty.
Let's look at Galatians 5 as we encourage the heart and soul of the brothers and sisters out there. It says, verse 1, stand fast. I like this word, stand fast. It means just be still, don't move, stand fast. Don't be movable in the liberty wherewith HaMashiach has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know what they're talking about right there? Come up out of that religious viewpoint.
Don't go back in.
Got the sun set free. Right. Tear the yoke of bondage where it became a taskmaster over you. That's why the commandments are not grievous. This is liberty. I feel free. Told me 6 days thou shalt work and do what you want, but the seventh day is mine. How hard is that, Brother D?
It's not hard at all. You put that right. It's liberty. a good word to define that.
Actually, that's right. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Through the Spirit we wait for righteousness. Through the Spirit. And we believe it'll come by faith. You need to understand that. We know Shaul's words start getting twisted and people run with the confusion of it. But let me help give some clarification. Verse 4. Christ is of no effect to you. If you feel like all I need is the law, because that makes you non-messianic, and you become like the Khazars who don't even accept Christ, because they're going around here thinking they're keeping the law by keeping the Sabbath and matzah balls and doing all that other stuff. So that's what he's in reference to. Now you got people still sacrificing animals. You don't have the grace. No. Grace also is not just an unmerited favor, but grace is there to put you back on track with the laws. Grace is to get you back in line with keeping the laws, because sin is John 3 and 4, transgression of the law. Now, that means that you broke a law. You made a mistake. You made an error, but you repented. Your repentance didn't mean you walk away from all the commandments. It means you get up again, and you got another day to get it right. Okay, I may have messed up that one commandment, but I bet you I won't mess it up again. Probably didn't do that right because I didn't know better, but I'm going to go ahead and get it right this time. And that's where the grace is. But you're not justified by just the law. You've got to accept our Messiah, what he did.
That's right.
And try to be like him.
And they go hand in hand.
Hand in hand. Verse 6, for in Yeshua HaMashiach, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. See, let me tell you something. We got some brothers that's going to come into a walk of the truth. Guess what? They at 58 may not want to go get that circumcision because it's going to be pretty painful. It might bring them some distrust. I mean, you know, they might be like, well, I didn't get it. Well, you know what? If the Most High should move on you, that's something you need to have done later because you just came into the truth. But he does have grace in that era because, I mean, Brother D, you understand the point I'm making?
Yes, I do. I do.
I'm not going to suffer a man who just came into the truth at 80 years old, and he probably ain't got 2 minutes left on this earth to tell him, brother, you got to get circumcised. You ain't going into the kingdom.
You tell him that he's circumcised in his heart.
He's circumcised in his heart because that brother may not make it through the circumcision table at 80 years old. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. There are plenty of people out there, men out there circumcised, and they're doing everything under the sun that they shouldn't be doing.
There you go.
Tell me that they're going to enjoy the kingdom just because they're circumcised? No, it don't work that way.
Right. And here we have Paul encouraging somebody in the fifth chapter because it was so much going on during this era since Christ had left. Of the disciples, it seems like they had slightly different messages to certain different people and regions, and people were getting discouraged. Just trying to make sure they were doing the right thing because this was a very pivotal moment in our so-called Christendom, our walk, because the Messiah had just left and they were trying to kill off the disciples and keep the growth of the church from happening. And a lot of people were falling off at this time too because it was just a lot of confusion. Don't think there weren't any false prophets, fake disciples, false churches popping up on the scenes. All of them trying to lay claim to the deity of our HaMashiach. I mean, what do you think happened to Simon the Sorcerer who walked up to him saying, I'll pay you guys for the Holy Spirit. How much can I, so I can work those miracles? That stuff was still going on, okay? And these type of churches were still popping up, and so a lot of people were giving up. Paul had to say in verse 6, for in Yeshua HaMashiach,
No, in verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. 10, I have confidence in you through our Elohim that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Whoever's preaching this false doctrine got you just thrown in the towel. And we got a lot of confusion out there now where people like, forget all this Hebrew stuff. I'm going back to church. These niggas just as crazy. And it's happening.
Yeah, and you know, Brother B, it also has to do with something that Paul, that the disciples had to endure, and we're going to have to endure, and that is the fact that you are going to be persecuted for this word, for following this word, for doing this. And just like they were persecuted back then, this, you know, we're headed toward that too, and a lot of people fall off because they don't want to go through that. They don't want to be, persecuted for the word of the Most High. So you have to be strong in that and be sincere with what you're doing and know what you're getting into.
Yes, sir. It's pretty scary, too, though, Brother D, for somebody to be sitting up saying, so you mean if I leave Satan alone, he'll leave me alone? That's what they're saying. So you mean if I just stop? If I stop banging hard for the Most High, Satan won't be coming at me like this. I won't be broke. I can go back to just kicking it and fornication, adultery, and that's what most people, that's how they think, and they'll walk away.
Making a choice.
Paul said in verse 11, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Is the offense of the cross ceased? No. So 12. I would that they were cut off, which trouble you. He's just trying to encourage them. I wish everybody who was messing with y'all out there in listening land would be cut off. But you see, the Most High won't let it happen. All of this is for a purpose to get you to a certain place. This is for you when they're coming at you crazy. He's not going to cut it off. Paul said, I wish I could cut it off, but, you know, that's just not the way he ordained for it to be. Who do you think you are that you ain't got to go through nothing or be ostracized? He said the world's going to hate you. What you think that look like? Man, you got to get a whole other set of shoulders. Yeah, it's a whole other walk you got to walk with. It's a whole other swag when you realize, oh, man, these people all hate me. You kind of laugh like, ha, you know.
Yeah, you count that as a glory and blessing that you're on the right path. Otherwise,
there you go.
The Hashatah wouldn't be concerned with you.
That's why he only calls certain people. Certain people can only a certain people can deal with this and walk like that. Only a certain people can walk along with people walking off from you, friends leaving you. There's only a certain type of person that's rigged like that.
A certain type of person that can leave those hella days alone and walk away from them, knowing that their family and their friends are still deep in, and you know, and now all of a sudden you're an outcast.
There you go. Let me read 13. This should encourage you. For brothers, you have been called into liberty. You should feel free, not oppressed. You should say, I've just begun my life. But then he goes on to say, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. So don't feel so good that you'd be like, oh, I feel so good. I just feel like getting into some more sin. Let me call such and such, see what they're doing today. They want to go kick it. Maybe have a glass of wine, chill. See, sometimes y'all get too free. Sometimes y'all feel too good. So, hey, Brother D, the Most High bless. Some folks with some money, they take off work, go get a hotel room, go kick it, start partying. Next thing you know, they at the club.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
And then when the wheels start falling off the wagon, and then they wonder what's going on. It goes back to what we were saying.
Everybody want to get back on their knees. Everybody want to get back on their knees when the party's over.
Exactly.
Right. So when we take our time and read these scriptures, we see Paul saying in 13, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use this freedom and this deliverance you feel to go mess up. But but by love, serve one another. Take that and do something for somebody else. That's what I gave it to you for, not to be self-serving. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, that neighbor is Leviticus 19, the people that sojourn with you in the commandments, the truth, and walk with you. I ain't got to love somebody that's on next door to me, that's sacrificing babies, drinking animal blood, and keeping pagan days. You get the hell away from me. Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So if this is what you're going to do, then just take heed that you don't get consumed if you want to get caught up in just like just fighting other people, if you're stuck there. Verse 16, then I say then, here's our key. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, but the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Everything the flesh lusts for is against your spirit, and everything your spirit desires is against the flesh. You need to put a pause right there, man. I'm telling you, everything your flesh is lusting for, from the cheeseburger to the quick romp in the hay, to what you put on your body, to what you drive your body in, to how you get your body to smell. All this is the opposite of the Spirit. This is why the Father wants you to pull back from those things and then focus on the Spirit. What can I do to feed my spirit, clothe my spirit, transport my spirit, and utilize my spirit? No, it's all flesh-centered at the beginning of the day. And see, these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would do. You're distracted by your flesh. Verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. This is the one that people really screw up. Let me tell you something. What you don't see is the simplicity of that verse and what it means. Because when you are in the Spirit and completely ruled and led by the Spirit, the Ruach, the Holy Ghost, you won't need a law to tell you you're doing wrong, because you'll be walking in truth and righteousness of the commandments, the laws. You can't walk in the Spirit unless you walk in the law. So Paul was saying, I don't have to remind you of the law when you're already keeping it. That's all he was saying. When you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the law. I don't have to tap Brother D on the shoulder and say, Brother, you better keep the Sabbath. If he's actively keeping the Sabbath, that's ridiculous. He already knows. I don't have to tell him. But you that's going to church on Sunday and not keeping it, you need the law to wake you up. You need it to show you your sin. But when we come out of sin and subjugate ourselves and submit wholeheartedly to the law, and the Most High knows you are, no, you don't need the law, because why? It's written in your heart. It's become second nature. You do it. It's this dance. And that's what Paul's saying. No need for somebody to eisegete something different out of this. See, well, I ain't got to keep that because I'm in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You ain't in the Spirit. That's your flesh. All your fake tongues and all. You're not in the Spirit, because in the Spirit, you'd be, man, you'd be trying to move up out of America and get to the monastery and be fasting 3, 4, 5 days a week. No, we're not all there. Because the flesh and the world and society pulls on us. So we still need the law, because we're in captivity. And that's why he's going to pull us up under the rod and the schoolmaster in the wilderness, to make sure we conform all the way before he writes it in our hearts. Go ahead.
And make no mistake, the law has always been with us, going back to Adam. It says certain ways you're supposed to act, certain things you're supposed to do. The law has always been with us.
Right. So just to help people out, I like how Shaul broke it down for you. How do I know if I'm walking in the flesh? Okay, if you're doing any of these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, you're just filthy, you're nasty, your thoughts are nasty, your words are nasty, your body's nasty, your eyes are nasty, and lasciviousness went right after it, which was perfect, because lasciviousness is just unbridled lust, just ridiculous, insatiable desires and nastiness and orgies, unclean. That's 19. That's flesh. Now, if that's out of your life, you're getting rid of some of the flesh. But if you're still struggling with that and you're still doing that, you're not walking in the Spirit. Okay, let's talk about some more walking in the flesh. If you have on crosses, idolatry, witchcraft. Idolatry of anything, if you idolize anything, if Michael Jordan is still your idol, American Idol, if you watch that TV show, okay, I'm not playing. Witchcraft. Rebellion is that sin of witchcraft. Always rebelling against people, others, your husband, your wife. Hatred. If you some people talking about I can't stand that, you know what? Variance. Always trying to separate yourself. Emulations, causing problems. You got wrath, full of strife, seditions, heresies. Envy people. You know when you envious of somebody, and there's people that are anointed to get you to envy them. They'll keep showing you what they have, keep putting it in your face because they're trying to stir up and gender up strife, and they're trying to gender up envy. They're anointed by Satan to do that. If you're killing people,
when,
if you constantly, go ahead.
And that's when you used to say, well, I see all your worldly things you have, but I have the Most High. I have Yeshua. And that's all I need, and that should lift you up.
There you go. And even if you didn't possess them things, I'm quite sure you'd be happy with the Most High, right? And that's how you
right.
put them in check, just like that.
Yes.
Drunken and always fighting people. These are all things of the flesh. Now, okay, he said you don't have to worry about the law if you walk like this every day. If you got love, I mean, people just see you and they just want to go up and give you a hug. If every day you got joy, I mean, you just ready to turn flips. If every day you got peace of mind, if every day you can put up with stuff called long suffering, your parents, your kids, your job, your spouse, if you're very gentle in how you deal with things and people, if you always doing good, and if your faith is off the charts, that you'd be like, we ain't got no food, but somebody about to knock on this door in the next hour and bring us some food. The name is you. Y'all don't believe that. How do you even got faith? Meekness. I mean, the meek shall inherit the earth. Those that are just, you just know what type. You just like, that's a sweet person. That's a beautiful brother. That's a good sister right there. All right? Temperance.
And
you don't fly off the handle. You got temperance. Against such, Paul said, there is no law. Check this out. Everything I just read, Brother D, ain't none of us that every day. Me included. We working on
yep.
it, which is why we need the law.
Exactly. And what did we just celebrate? We just celebrated Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, meaning that we've gotten all this leaven, or we've done our best to get this leaven out of our heart.
Right, absolutely. All right, well, that's all I wanted to say, brother, for today. We got knocked off the radio. All praises to the Most High. Going to be more of that coming.
Yes. They knocked off the radio, took the time from you, and they ain't going to give you back. But
right.
all we know is that, you know, we're trying to be right with the Most High, and that's all that's all that matters.
There you go. Well, walk in the spirit. Don't ask amiss. Have the right intentions, and then, you know, be all good. All praises.
And if I can read one more thing about you, because you were talking about prayer this morning, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know,
hallelujah.
You have to come to the Most High humbly.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a good one. You're right. Well, brother, I appreciate you being on here. Thank you for your time. Todah Rabbah.
Todah Rabbah. Anytime I can give time to the Most High, you know, I feel blessed.
All praises to the Most High. I'll be talking to you on the other side, Most High willing, and let you know we got some things planned for the coming Shabbat. So we're already actively talking to a few other people, and we'll have some things together. But we're going to keep on doing what we're doing right here on Blog Talk until they lock all of us off the airwaves, because they're trying to get all of us, brother, on YouTube, Facebook, Blog Talk. The purpose is to try to take this message away.
That's right. So, well, shalom, brother.
All right, shalom, brother. And shalom to the family, to the Mishpachah. May the Most High bless and keep.
Yes.
Keep your head.